when the pain is becoming your entire identity, then obviously when it comes to growth, it's going to feel threatening to you. This is why you can't be challenged. You can't sit in the uncomfortability of certain conversations because honestly, you are victimizing yourself.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. How is everybody feeling on today? I'm feeling great. I just want to say that this episode might ruffle some feathers. And if it does, I don't really know what else to tell you. Because, well, if this is your first time seeing me, meeting me, hello. My name is Aisha Christina Foster. Nice to meet you. I'm a very tough love type of person, and there is no coddling really on this channel, or on this podcast, I should say. It's just tough love, okay? So if this is offensive, while that might not be my intention, it actually is not my intention, let me be clear. If the shoe fits, put it on princess, and that's all I have to say about that. But it's important that we take accountability, right? We are not always responsible for what has happened to us. However, it is our obligation to heal from whatever those unforeseen circumstances or circumstances, period, are and were. Okay. So I want to start by making that disclaimer. And yeah, make sure you are giving this video a thumbs up if you are watching me in person on YouTube. Guys, can you do me a favor? I want to make sure that we are hitting our goal of getting to, I know I said 300,000 subscribers my last video, but let's just start even more granular. Let's say 250K subscribers on the channel. And that can only work if we work together as a team. Okay. Teamwork makes the dream work. I am solidifying more stuff with my team so that we can, you know, just be extra tight with our scheduling and everything as far as the episodes go, because ultimately I will be uploading a podcast 3 times a week, 2 videos, which you guys already see from me twice a week, in addition to an audio episode eventually I will be releasing as well. So you guys will be seeing me 3 times a week, or put it like this. You guys will be hearing from me 3 times a week. Let's not forget to mention I do TikTok shop, TikTok period. And also I have 2 Instagram pages, one for the podcast and then one for my own personal. Technically, I have 3. I do have a vlogging channel, which I haven't uploaded to in probably over a year now, which is called Hot and Holy. And I love that name, honestly. And I haven't uploaded to it for a while, but we'll see what happens in the future. Right now, what's most important to me is picking things back up with the podcast, now that we are back filming again with fresh new episodes. So I had to make sure that I came at you guys with not only new content, but that we were doubling the episodes that we normally were putting out. So very happy about that. I hope you are doing well. And thank you so much for all the love, the messages, for all of you that have been reposting my videos and things like that. It does not go unnoticed or unseen. Thank you so much to each and every one of you that takes the time to interact with my content. Let me tell you something. The best, easiest way to support your favorite creator is simply to engage with the video. Whether that's make a comment, no one says you have to write a paragraph, even if you were to put a heart emoji, okay? So if you are actually listening to this, well, watching this, I want to say, I want you to put a heart emoji. Let's do a white heart emoji in the comment section. Yeah, TTT. Let's do that. And that way I know that you are supporting and that you are watching. So with that being said, title of this episode was inspired by, of course, real life events, right? I understand that you may be hurt, but are you also avoiding accountability? All right. There is a difference between being hurt and building a personality around being harmed. And I want to be sensitive when I talk about this because, once again, if you guys remember the last episode that I had posted, I was talking about some like weird situation that happened on Instagram where I was sharing the fact that I was like mentioning if you tell someone a sob story, make sure that you are, as an active listener, asking yourself, well, what is making this person share this information with me? And somehow it kind of twisted into some people sort of being accusatory of me stating that I was in support of silencing victims of abuse, which is egregious and not something I would ever do, let alone publicly do. That makes no sense why I would say something like that. Like, think about what kind of person hops on the internet and says, yeah, and if you're abused, just stay silent. No one cares. Shut up. That's pretty much what people acted. Some people, not everyone, some people clearly got the message, into which, going over it again, clearly here, I was referencing just a simple friendship fallout, you know, where you might get into a disagreement with a friend, you guys are no longer speaking, and the person that actually is the reason for why you no longer have a relationship is going in front of you, telling all the mutual friends you guys had about the situation, clearly to get in front of it, because liars have to lie fast and first, okay? That's what I was referencing, to go over that again, okay? And that's the last time that I'm going to explain myself in regards to that. But I did think it was important to address it, because I want to be abundantly clear that I would never, ever advocate for being silent in abusive dynamics on any level and scale. So I was not referencing abuse in any capacity. I was simply referencing a regular friendship fallout that you may have with an individual. And that's it. That is that. And that is it. So like I said, there's a major difference, right, between being hurt and making that your personality. And some people, they simply do not actually want healing. They want permanent validation. I actually knew somebody like this, where I remember the first time I spoke with them, you know, they were like, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, let me hear what you have to say. Like, I wanted to hear this person out. And then I started to notice a pattern that that person then began to always have a story, not just with me, but with everybody. That's they love leading and living in that trauma sort of space of, oh, you don't know what I went through with my husband today. And it's, I just have a lot going on. And I'm like, okay, so I quickly started to clock, okay, like, this was not like a one-time thing where you needed to get something off your chest, or even a couple times. Like, I'm noticing throughout the years of knowing this individual that they always have a story. Oh, it's a lot going on. They're a victim. Respectfully, they are just a victim, all right? So they want the permanent validation of, oh, girl, I understand what you're going through. I'm so sorry. That gives them a hit of dopamine, all right? And at what point does I'm healing become I never have to grow? At what point? I'm just asking. This is not about shaming people who have been through real trauma, okay? This is about the patterns that are keeping people emotionally stuck. And it's just, it's relationally draining. I'm just gonna keep it a buck, all right? So please understand where I'm coming from here. So what does self-victimization actually look like? Well, every story in your book positions you as the powerless person. Every single story. And after a while, it's like, of course you're gonna be empathetic towards that. Of course you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that you went through this, all these different things. I actually knew a friend where, which is interesting, they always had this story of this upbringing about their abuse and all these different things. Why would I not believe someone who says that they've been abused? Of course I am. Like, who would make something like that up? But what's interesting is I think that they forgot. Again, I'm only speaking in this context now that it's on my mind. I think they forgot to study the archetype or the character of somebody that actually is abused, because I noticed that this person was very, like, the traits of this person were not indicative of any abuse being present in their life at all. I mean, the people that they claimed abused them, they have consistent contact with and were very, very aggressive toward. So I noticed that their behavior was actually the more aggressive behavior. And it took me a while to catch on, because at first I thought it was hypervigilance of, okay, because of maybe certain circumstances that person shared, that maybe that's why they were acting that way. But if it was as bad as this person was trying to portray it to be, then why would it still be functioning in this capacity? And why would you be allowing certain people back into your life? You wouldn't constantly be cycling in this stuff this much if it was such an abusive situation where said things were done to you. Because at a certain point, like, abuse is never okay in any scale, but on a high scale where we're talking about physical abuse or other appropriate forms that I don't even want to name and label, why would you still be involved with these people, right? I'm just saying. And I noticed that maybe this person is not actually giving me an accurate recollection of events that have transpired, because I'm actually now starting to think that that person was the actual aggressor in a lot of the situations. All right. Clear behavioral signs can also look like no ownership ever. They always have an excuse for everything. Always. And they're so used to manipulating situations and manufacturing situations that after a while, it just gets exhausting to even coexist with someone like that. So you end up having to resort to extreme forms of behavior to send a message to that person. I remember there was like a friendship fallout that I witnessed between two people that I knew. And I remember one of them pretty much just ended up going silent on the other person. And the other person, who was definitely she's a very like masculine person, she was very much like, well, why didn't I find all this stuff out before? And da da da. And I could tell that it's because with that type of personality that individual had, you have to resort to extreme behavior. Like, you're hanging out with them and you're just tolerating their behavior over and over again until you reach a point where you literally cannot take it anymore. And I understand on one hand, someone can say, well, that person should have spoke up for themselves. But until you encounter a situation that you've never, ever been close to encountering before, you actually don't know how you're going to respond. I'll give you an example. One time I was at someone I used to be friends with house. And I remember I had invited one of my best friends, because I always like to kind of combine the groups and things like that. And I remember we were like getting prepared to eat dinner or what have you. And I remember that the person made a comment at my best friend was going to go get some ice cream. And I remember this person saying, "What are you doing?" And my best friend was like, "Oh, I'm going to go get some ice cream." And she literally says, "We don't do that in this house. We don't eat ice cream before dinner in this house." Meanwhile, we're older than this girl is. And it, you would think in that situation that you would be like telling the girl off. You'd be like, "Why are you speaking to me like that?" But you would be shocked with how stunned you are. Also, with these types of emotional terrorists, you almost don't have the energy as a mature person to go back and forth with them, because you know it's just pointless and exhausting. So you just don't even bother going back and forth with them, because you know that it's just a waste of your time. And so that's kind of the choice that you feel like you're stuck between. I digress. So there's always an answer for everything as to why they feel justified in saying what they said, doing what they did. It's never all right, you know what? I actually do accept accountability for that. And I'm genuinely sorry. And you feel like you're moving forward. No, it feels like they might use these terms. Oh, yes, I accept what you're saying, all these different things. But you can tell that the dynamic has changed. You can tell that that person does not feel the same about you. Meanwhile, you're actually being genuine and trying to resolve it. Like, I always say this, as an adult, I realize whether or not I care about somebody when I care about reconciling. Okay. Like, if I don't care about reconciling something with you, I am not going to want to meet up with you about it. I'm actually not going to text you about it. There's no conversation to be had. Like, we're done, and you could say whatever you have to say. I don't care to tell you how I feel, because I do not care about this relationship anymore. So we're done. Okay. So when I reach that point of not wanting to reconcile and just wanting to leave it alone, and I feel relieved by your absence, then that tells me everything that I need to know. So whenever, going back to the behavioral signs, The clear behavioral signs here of what people that are self-victimizing looks like is the constant retelling of the same wounds without any sort of progress and movement in their life. You have the same things going on, the same patterns, the same this, the same this. It does get exhausting, okay? It's giving like, I can't do anything, I'm powerless, all these different situations. Let me tell you something, babe. Psychologically, people do not stay in things that are not serving them in some sort of capacity, all right? Whether that be financially, emotionally, relationally, people do not stay in, human beings do not stay in situations that are so gravely uncomfortable for them, outside of the realm of course, an extreme case, which I am not referencing, which would be, domestic violence or some sort of serious abuse. But topically here, with what I'm referencing, when people constantly feel the need to talk about the same thing over and over again, and this is how you also know someone's a victim. Every single person they come across, they have to tell the same old story to. I remember I knew someone who was actually a male, and every single time this person gets into a relationship, they're telling the same sob story to every single girl that they're with. And that person ended up finding one idiot who started to believe the things that he was saying. And that dictated her actions in how she responded in the family, how she ended up treating his family, and all these different things. I don't know. I'm the type of person where I don't care what you tell me about your family. I will never disrespect anyone's family, no matter what I know about them, because that's your family. And out of respect for how I was raised and respect for my elders and that not being my family, period, I would never, ever feel comfortable being in a relationship with a man and him trying to convince me of certain things about his family dynamic, and I am mistreating his family as a result of the things that this man is saying. I don't care. I would never do it. All right. So maybe we're just built differently, but I would never do something like that. And so I noticed that, wait a second, this person involves every single time they're dating somebody, they're sharing their wounds and dumping their baggage, which is not even accurate, by the way, onto, that individual every single time. Okay. And so what happens when you become this individual? All you have to do is meet the perfect idiot that then exacerbates those toxic qualities in yourself. Because let's not preclude the fact here that eventually the victimization turns into toxicity. It is toxic, all right? And then these people always want to weaponize therapy language. I'm triggered to avoid accountability. Okay, beyond the trigger, what can you do beyond the trigger? Every single disagreement with that person feels like an attack to them. Surrounding themselves with people who only validate but never challenge them is what these types of people tend to do. They're victims. This aligns and corresponds directly with the Instagram video that I made when I was talking about, and when you're going and telling your sob story as an active listener, ask yourself, why would a certain individual tell me information on someone that I'm not even close to? This person didn't abuse me. This person didn't make a smear campaign about me. This person didn't do any of these things. But because I want to overshare and I want to victimize myself, I'm going to tell this story and surround myself with a rally of troops to validate how I feel. And they have no leg to stand on to even challenge what this person is even saying. Oh, do you understand what it is that I'm getting at? So obviously in certain scenarios, pain is very real. But when the pain is becoming your entire identity, then obviously when it comes to growth, it's going to feel threatening to you. This is why you can't be challenged. You can't sit in the uncomfortability of certain conversations, because honestly, you are victimizing yourself. You can't sit in the uncomfortability of, you know what? Ouch, this hurts, this stings, but I trust this relationship that I have with this person, and out of respect for them, I trust that what they're gonna say to me is for my own good. It is not because they're trying to go out of their way to offend me and challenge me because they just wanna troll me and try and manipulate me and control me. No. So this is how you know when someone's healthy or not, because do you feel like the people around you genuinely want the best for you? Otherwise, If not, then why are you around them? It tells me you're a victim because you are having these relationships around you, but you don't trust their genuine feedback. You only feel like you do. Like, you ever meet someone where they always want to know what you're thinking, but they know good and well that they're just hoarding the things that you're saying to use them against you later? I knew someone like this as well, where they're like, oh no, like, I value your opinion and I just want to know what you're thinking. And come to find out, this person was literally going, and I'm trying to help this person out as a friend, genuinely. And I didn't even tell her the fullness of all I was thinking because I kind of knew she was obsessed with this person and couldn't handle it. And she'd always be like, well, I want to know what you're honestly thinking. And I would say like, well, do you? Because you're going to do whatever you're going to do regardless. And she's like, well, yeah, but I just still want to know. Okay. And then I found out that she was telling the guy that she was with that, oh, these are the things my friends are saying and all these different things. Girl, your friends were saying that because the things we were saying were true. We were trying to help you and help you realize that you're delusional and that you've manufactured your position into, you know, that person's life at the time. Like, that's where it came from. Just like how one time I remember my best friend, I was involved in a situation. And I remember one of my best friends was like, I don't like this for you. Like, I don't like who you are in this dynamic. I said, have I changed, like, as a friend? And she was like, no, I just don't like who you are with this person in this relationship. Did I want to hear that? No. But I trust my best friend that she genuinely wants the best for me. And if I was honest with myself, I knew that she was actually right. She wasn't trying to come against me. We're still best friends, by the way. So I knew that. And I'm grateful that I have people around me that are reliable and that do want the best for me and that are going to be honest with me and challenge me at points where I know it genuinely makes sense. I'm very fortunate, you know, all glory to God. But why, ask yourself this, why would you be perpetually around someone, people that you don't even trust their feedback? Interesting. So what do you keep doing? Telling your story over and over again to somebody that will then bite the, you know, take the bait and then take your side aggressively and loyally and fiercely so that you can feel like, oh, see, yeah, actually I am right. Okay. So what is the psychology behind victimizing yourself? Well, think about it. Think about the secondary gain that you get. Like I was hinting at before, you're getting the attention, you're getting the validation, the expectations are then lowered, right? Especially when you're getting that validation and attention, it's like, oh, see, you're not crazy. Oh, see, yes, it is exactly what you think. And when you're also just becoming friends with someone and they come with this like heavy storyline, again, not accusing everyone of lying, but when they come with such a heavy storyline, you don't know this person, why wouldn't you believe them? Think about that. Why wouldn't you believe them? So your nervous system, it's always going to choose the familiarity with the chaos or the sympathy. That's the psychology behind people that are, you know, self-victimizing. Okay. They also have something called learned helplessness. They've learned to sell a storyline that always paints them as the victim in each storyline, even if they are in fact the aggressors, or if they are in fact the person that eventually did get their power back, but they love the manipulation of being able to act like, oh, see, like, look at how this person's acting. They do it so crafty that they probably don't even have true awareness that it's something that they're doing. Also, some people are so scared of this because the version of who they think that they are so far from that, it will actually seriously cause clinical damage to their mental health if they realize, oh my gosh, I am genuinely not who I think I am. And that's how you know you're really dealing with someone that's very defensive, because they can't even hear. They cannot even hear what certain people have to say. You're not gonna love every single thing that somebody has to say about you, but I still wanna know how certain people have arrived, if we had a friendship, to a certain conclusion. I would wanna know, if you're claiming I'm this, 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 and this, please let me know how you arrived at this conclusion out of the respect for what we once had. If you can't give me that, but you would rather go and tell everyone but me, that tells me everything I need to know about you. You're lying. You're genuinely lying, because why wouldn't you want the person that allegedly hurt your feelings, why would you not want to hear straight out of their mouth what's going on? You mean to tell me you'd rather go to everyone but them when you have access to hearing out what that person has to say, regardless of whether or not you agree with it? I would want the chance because I'm going to tell you about yourself. If I got the opportunity to. But there's also a fear of having that responsibility because responsibility means change. To realize that you are in fact not who you think you are and busting that bubble of self-victimization means you have to take on the responsibility of realizing, man, I am actually potentially a fraud. I'm sorry, but it's true. And also, social media tends to reward victim narratives. It's just the truth. It is the truth. It is the truth. All right. People do love a story. Hello. Why do you think we all watch, you know, certain channels and things like that? But we love a story. I love a story. I am no different. However, being a person that has endured excessive persecution, smear campaigns, and excessive lies, and I have never gone out of my way to seek vengeance on these people, never gone out of my way to do anything. Again, thank God I've never been in a truly life-threatening situation where I had to come out publicly and say something. It has made me an extremely resilient person. And I understand everyone does respond differently. But again, I really want to be clear when I say that I'm mentioning people that make this their personality. All right. I'm not talking about someone that happens to mention a couple of scenarios that may have happened to them, you know, as they've, you know, grown or what have you. But I'm talking about people that always have some story and something going on. So you have to realize if you stay a victim, you will never have to risk failing, right, as the healed version of yourself if you remain a victim. That's how deep it really is. So how does self-victimization show up in our relationships? Well, you become the type of person where you're making the people around you responsible for your own emotional regulation. And this is why you have people, some people that have high anxiety, and you can feel what they do to a room whenever they come around, where even on a friendship level, you're nervous of like, oh my gosh, if I don't answer this person's call, they're going to be texting and blowing up my phone, or they will start to a drama with you. Oh, girl, I heard this, like, give me a call when you can, because I want to clear this up. Like, there's always just a story. Hey, just wanted to have a quick conversation with you about something that was on my mind. Like, there's just always something. Or even when you're on the phone, you're like, oh, can I call you back? Oh, yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to tell you this one thing. Next thing you know, you're on the phone with them for an extra 40 minutes. They don't know how to just let things be. They always have to use other people to be their emotional regulation. They cannot self-regulate. They hate themselves. It's the truth. People that are victims, they can't face themselves. That is a form of self-hatred. All right. They're always in constant crisis mode, and they know that they built the storyline so well that they'll even look at you like, see, this is what I'm going through. So, you know, because they want to elaborate on it. See, like, you see, and you're eating it up like, oh my gosh, you're right. I do see. No, you only are seeing things from that person's lens because that's the storyline that they told you. But again, you will see how this person responds when you challenge that thought. Not to be a troll, but when you're getting a gut instinct that something is really not right here, okay? Something is a little off. And when you ask them certain questions, I remember I asked this girl a question once. There was like I saw like these two friends fall out. I remember I was the mutual friend in between them. And I remember I said, well, I mean, so I was there for certain conversations, but you're retelling them back to me in a different way. So you mean to tell me this person went back to you and told you a different story after I was already part of the conversation when this person introduced this to both of us? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm just trying to understand how like this person was this one way to you. Meanwhile, you've been the aggressive person this entire time. This person literally hasn't been. And this person is feeling sad and everything. And you're feeling very angry and like aggressive. And that's what's going on. I said, why do you think that's even happening? Like, I'm genuinely trying to understand. Why do you think? I don't know. And I was like, well, it doesn't make sense to me that this person would tell you, go on the side and tell you a different version of events at the time that you didn't have an issue with until now. Hindsight's always 2020, so I will give you the benefit of the doubt. But I was there for that event and you're calling it back to me as something else. Like, so this person had to have gone back to you and told you a different, you know, what. And I just knew in my gut, in my adult brain, that this girl was just lying. And she didn't even realize she was lying. So, of course, why would she think she's lying? That's my point here. So, like I said, the constant crisis mode. Then there's the isolation from others. Everyone is against me. And these people love an everyone's against me when they are in a relationship with a man. It's always us against the world. And then when they move on to the next victim, okay, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, like I just never have girlfriends. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I'm just like always like to myself and like just with my relationship. Like, I just never really had time to make girlfriends. No, you don't know how to be a friend. Let's start there. You don't know how to be a friend. You like the concept of friendship, but you cannot show up in the capacity that's needed to actually take on the responsibility of maintaining healthy friendships. You do not have it in you because you can barely function having a healthy romantic dynamic as well. That's the truth, right? They also rewrite history during conflict. Events are genuinely not transpiring the way that they are supposed to in this person's head. They're not. There was something that was said in that dynamic at the time, and it turned out to be true about that person. And I personally know it was true. And they were upset that a person they were involved with found out. And instead of saying, you know what, I'm upset that this even came out, but let me hear what this girl has to say, because why would she bring it up? Instead, she just chose to ice the girl out and not even hear what the girl had to say when there was strong relations between the girl and the guy that found out. Let's just put it like that. There was strong relation between them from a family perspective, not like anything weird. And she just flipped the situation around. When I saw that, I said, oh, okay. Like, I could never be friends with someone like this. Like, she's actually crazy. Because I want to speak to my friend and say, listen, not only I'm upset in how this came out, but like, she's so obsessed with holding on to the relationship that she wanted. She clearly valued it and told me she valued it more than her friendship with the other girl. But that's weird because I'm all now looking at this differently. I'm feeling like she befriended the girl so that she could get to her brother. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was a messy situation. Whatever. That's behind me now. But I'm using it as context, as these people will rewrite history, and the very things that they are doing, they are outright projecting onto you. Outright projecting onto you. They'll call you all types of names in the book. Oh, you're a loser. You're doing this. Oh, you're doing that. I even had, you know, one of the things I have to say, I realize is a pet peeve of mine, is I hate when people name things in arguments that they expect people to be like, oh, whoa, about, when it's like, it's obvious. Like, so I remember one time a friend said to me, yeah, and this person blocked me on this account and that account and that account. And I said, so you're in a fight with this person. Why wouldn't they block you on all your accounts? That doesn't make sense. And clearly they were right to do so because you went and checked it. If it wasn't even on your mind, you wouldn't even have caught that or thought to think that. You know? And then what did that person do? They ended up blocking, when me and that person ended up falling out, they ended up unfriending me on all those pages too. And I'm like, did you just do the same thing that you accused the other girl of doing to you before? Like, whatever. So just an unhealthy person all the way around. And I just knew it was done when I felt so relieved, like just not having them in my life. Like, because I was keeping my distance from them at the time for a while because I was just observing certain behaviors that I just didn't think were in alignment with myself. But it's hard to tell someone, especially that you know doesn't take accountability, hey, this is kind of how I'm feeling and I don't really know. Like, you know, you'd rather just like drop it, because I realized, again, I got to the point of realizing I don't want to reconcile this. I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be involved in your life at all, you know, and that's okay. Don't hate you or anything, but just, you're not really my cup of tea. It is what it is. So anyways, they also turn boundaries into accusations. Well, why are you abandoning me? Oh, you mean I want space and I'm not allowed to have space for myself? Why are you, like, they, everything has to be on their timeline, their timeline. They are always having to send the last text, having the last word. Like, they always have to do stuff that keeps them in consistent control. I do not function well in those dynamics. You're done. All right. So how do you check yourself without shaming yourself? Well, ask yourself this question. Do I have a problem admitting when I'm wrong? Truthfully, Am I repeating the same story without changing my choices? All right. You can lie to whoever you want. Just don't lie to yourself, okay? Do my friends feel drained after supporting me? Am I noticing that every time I'm friends with people, or I'm in a romantic dynamic, it hits the same plateau where I'm realizing the same level of emotions keeps on coming up for me? Do I want solutions, or do I just want people to agree with me and validate me? Am I avoiding the growth simply because it's unfamiliar? I just refuse to accept that maybe the version that of myself that I thought I had clearly isn't accurate. So maybe I should kind of absorb some of this for, you know, healthy critique here, because I do think that this person genuinely is my friend. All right. Having self-awareness, it is not a self-attack, right? It's having self-respect, being comfortable in uncomfortable moments. So I hope that that has resonated with you guys. Okay. So I'll leave you guys with this note and say that your trauma may explain you, but it does not permanently define who you are. So with that being said, I hope that this episode was very thought-provoking. And do not forget that I love you and God loves you. I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next video. Mwah.